morning, everyone. Sound okay? Not too loud or good. I won't have to talk loud today. Well, let me start by welcoming everybody who's at Healing School this morning and saying thank you. Bruce, there's an echo I think we're going to have to fix. Well, I'll just wait and we'll start once she gets that. I heard someone ask about Pastor Trey. His mother had a doctor's appointment this morning that he was led to be with her, Dawn. So he's up there, and we'll be back this afternoon, I think. It was his plan. So, Mary, does that sound better? Yeah, I don't hear the echo now. All right, so let's start this one more time. Welcome to Healing School this morning. What a privilege it is on my part to be able to teach this, and I count it an honor that you would come to listen to the Holy Spirit through me. And to those of you who are joining us online, let me tell you that I believe today we're going to hear a word that can make a difference in our life as we build on, as we've been talking about, fighting and rest, fighting and standing, yet at rest. And we're going to continue that this morning. So let's pray as we start. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you sent your Son for us. And Father, we just ask right now that the words that you've given me to speak, that you have anointed them, and the Holy Spirit will take those words and minister to each of these special people here today, your people, that we may receive from you all that you desire, and that we may receive all Jesus purchased. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of your people today. And we just declare today to be a time that you use signs and wonders to confirm your word. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, last time I taught, which was 2 weeks ago, we talked about what does my rest look like. Now, we've been anchored in this talking about rest and said that, you know, you can be fighting, you can be standing, and yet you're not making progress, discouragement can come, and that's not how we want to stay, but it's certainly how the devil wants to keep us. We looked at seven Hebrew words, and let me just read through some of those just to give you a context of what your rest should begin to look like, and that's what we're going to be talking today, is what does my rest look like? I mean, that's what we talked about last time, what does my rest look like? To cease to desist. Because work is finished. And that last phrase is very important. To lean on or rely on and to stay connected to or on. To settle down and dwell there. And I believe that has a connotation of being comfortable there. To stop and to be quiet. We talked about how we can hear the Lord when we're at rest and that's manifesting. To lodge and resign, it can also mean an intermission or to take a break from. And there was much, much more. And if you did not attend that, I'm not going to go over everything we covered last week. It's on our Facebook website. You can view it online or you can go to highpointmacon.com, click on services, click on the healing service, and there'll be an audio recording there. Now, I want to show you this scripture. And I'm going to walk down here, Bruce, to turn on the screen in the back so I can see it with you. Well, you're going to have to edit all this out, I know. Well, I can't get it, so I'm just going to read from my notes, okay? Matthew 11, verse 28. So let's go to Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come to me. Now, what does our flesh and our mind want to do when things are not going well for us? It's what? We want to run from him. But he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's a very affirmed statement. He will give us that rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, we've talked about last week, but I want to mention this one more time. A yoke was used to hook two ox together, so they could plow a field. But they would often put a mature ox with a young one to do what? To teach them. And so that when they were yoked with that mature one who knew how to do it, then they would learn as well how to do it. But when Jesus says, take my yoke, I think we've got to understand, who was he joined with? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. So we're being yoked with the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, Jesus is yoked with us because he and the Holy Spirit are one. And he says, learn from me. So there's some things we need to learn from him. He says, he's gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my yoke is light. My load is light. We looked at Ephesians 1, and I want to read to you verses 19 and 20, because this really sets the tone for what we're going to be talking about. Talking about what God did, and he's wanting us to know in verse 17. He wants us to know what is the surpassing greatness of his power. Now, don't read through these next two words. Toward us. Toward me. Toward you. He wants us to know the surpassing greatness of his power toward you and I who do what? Who believe. And that's knowing in our heart. And these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. He had to use more power to raise Jesus from the dead. Why? Because all of us were raised with him. And then in verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now, two questions arise then. Number one is, why did he seat him there? Well, the first one, for the answer to that question is, because the work was what? Complete. It is finished, Jesus said. And when the Father raised him from the dead, then he was in a position to be seated in that place of honor at the right hand of the Father. But what does that right hand of the Father signify? A place of authority. Now keep that in your thinking. Let that just get deep in your spirit today. Because we're going to ask the question now, or we're going to begin talking about Jesus is my place of rest. So we're going to ask some questions. And I want you to look at Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. Now we read through this very fast last week, but I want to slow down. But God, man, thank you, Lord, that you care that much about us. Being rich in mercy because of your great love with which you love us. And I'm just going to paraphrase it a little bit to make it more personal for us. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our sins. So back up to 4, Mary, and let me read that this way. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins. And then it says, made us alive together with Christ. So now back up to 4 again. Because of his great love with which he loved you, go to 5, he made you alive together with Christ. And I want you to see that because of that great love, that's why we've been made alive when we believe in Jesus. And then it says, by grace you've been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to come back to this verse, but let me read 7. So that in the ages to come, and that's including our time here on earth, that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness. There's that phrase again, toward us. So that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So in and through Christ Jesus. So we ask the question now, where are we in this? Where are we? Well, this tells us what? That we are seated in heavenly places. Go back to verse 6. Seated in heavenly places with Him, with Jesus. And how does that happen? Well, it happens because we are what? In Him. Now, why did He do this? Why did He seat us there in Him? Well, let's go back to what we saw earlier so that He could show us the surpassing riches of His grace towards you. Do you realize that you are the reason, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but let's just do it now. You are the reason why the Lord sent Jesus to the earth. It's not the other way around. It's kind of like Scripture says what? That the Sabbath, that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And it's like that. Jesus was sent to the earth for you. The Word of God was written because of His great love for you. All this that He wants to show toward us. You know, at Christmas, we like to say Jesus is the reason for the season. And I understand that and appreciate it. But can I just tell you this? You are the reason for that season of Christmas, because that's why He sent Jesus, was for you. Now, if we can begin to get that in our hearts, I think a lot of things are going to open up to us. So, let's go back to the question then. The questions that we have. Why did He do it? Because of you. How did he do it? He didn't. And where are we? Well, we are seated in heavenly places, and He did it by placing us in Christ Jesus. So positionally, that's where you are today, in that spirit realm. And we've got to remember, we're going to talk about the children of Israel again today, but we've got to remember that He dealt with them in the physical nature, but He deals with us how? In the spirit realm. So when did that happen to you and I? Well, it happened. What is Hebrews 4:3? Says, for we who have believed enter that rest. So I believe when we were born again, when we were placed in Him, that's when we were seated in the heavenly places, and that's when we entered into this rest that we're talking about. Now, and it all is because we're in Christ Jesus. So let me ask this question then. Why are we seated with Him in the heavenly places? Well, might it be that the works of our salvation are complete? Jesus did it all. We couldn't do any of it. And so we're seated in Him because the work of your salvation is finished. And that's the same reason that Jesus were seated. But then we say, well, why don't I feel or why don't I experience that rest? We must believe it. Talked about through grace we've been saved, or by grace we've been saved, but it comes how? Always through faith. And I want to point out too that if we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus in Him, then you too are seated in that place of authority. Now, just think about that. You are seated in that place of authority. Now can you understand why Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? Go therefore. He's telling us, because we are seated with Him, that we have that same authority and power. So let me just kind of boil that down as we're talking about rest and say, no, I'm going too fast. If everything related to your salvation is complete, then does that include healing? So the works that are required for us to walk in health have been completed by Jesus. Wow. Same true with peace. Same's true with, as we're talking about, with rest, with provision. So when we see that, we begin to see then that He, Jesus, is our rest. In Him is this place of rest we have. And this place of rest has nothing to do with time, be it a week, a year, or a day, as we saw with the children of Israel. Now, I want you to be turning to Luke 4, but I want you to listen, once you get there, to what I'm about to read, because we need to understand this. And it's one we read a couple of weeks ago, but I want to repeat it. Exodus 35, verse 2, the Lord is speaking through Moses, and He said, 6 days' work shall be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest. The word there literally means an intermission, a ceasing of what was going on. And it's of rest to the Lord. So it's holy to the Lord, it's a Sabbath. And then He tells them how important it is that if you don't obey it, you'll be put to death. Now, remember how the children of Israel were promised in Hebrews 4:8, and we covered this in several sessions ago. They were promised a place of rest. Enter into what? The promised land. Now, don't equate the promised land with heaven. Equate it with you being born again here on earth. But they could not enter because what? They did not enter His rest because they didn't believe. And it was considered a sin. So what I want to say to you today is the children of Israel had a place of rest. And we're going to see that ours is not just a place, it is a person. So Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 17. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. Now stay there. Just stay there a minute. When I read this, this is what I see. Jesus found Himself in the Word of God. Have you? Have you found yourself in the Word of God? Because I'm telling you, you're in there all throughout it. But that's the identity that we need to have when we hear the words, beloved of God. That's you. You can find yourself in the Word just like Jesus did. And when you do, that's going to give you a confidence to enter into this rest that we're talking about. Verse 18, he then reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Now let's back up. Because He anointed me, and now He's speaking words, what breaks the yoke of bondage that holds so many captive? It's the anointing. It destroys it. Then it says, and recovery of sight to the blind. So He wants us to see all that He's doing toward us. And this includes healing. To set free those who are oppressed. So it's just not a physical healing He's talking about here, but He's talking about when we are tormented in our soul, having that healing available to us. And then the next one says, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, what is that favorable year that He's proclaiming? It's Jubilee. The year when every slave would be set free. The year when land would be returned to its previous owner if they had sold it or even if they lost it due to poverty. Everything was restored. Bruce, let's just pause. Clock. clock, the big old clock on the wall out there fell down. You can see that the Lord, yeah, the devil don't want us talking about this morning. Bruce, I have no idea, so good luck editing, and I'll just say, all right, we'll just take off and go then. Okay, so he came to said, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, which is the year of Jubilee, when everything was restored. If you lost land, it was sold it, it was returned to you. Slaves were set free and could return home. And as I think about this being set free, a good word would be it was a time of restoration. And that's right where healing falls to me, when your health is restored to you. So this is what Jesus was proclaiming to them. Their day of freedom. Their day of having all restored. Now, why did, when he said this, did it so upset them? Well, look at verse 20, and we'll talk about it. He closed the book, and he gave it to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. I'm sure it was, because he sat down in the seat which was reserved for Messiah. And the words he had spoken also. And in verse 21 it says, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So why did they get so upset with this? Why did they get so upset with his words? Well, what he's telling them is Messiah is here. The anointed one who breaks yokes, who restores things that were lost. But he's telling them more than that, because he's saying to them also this saying about Jubilee. Now, what did he say? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So what he's saying to them is, I am your Jubilee. So we begin to see our Jubilee is not a 7-year time frame, or it happens once every 7 years, or something we celebrate at 50, the 50th year after 7 sevens of years. Our Jubilee is the Master, our Lord Jesus. Can I say that a different way? Our place of rest is in the person of our Lord Jesus, where you, as born-again believers, have been placed. Oh my goodness. And you know, because it's not in a person and it's not a week, that person is an everlasting being who's alive today. So your rest is designed to be an eternal place where you stay. You don't have to leave it and lose your rest and come back to it. And we're going to tie this into peace in the coming weeks when I'm teaching on this. He said, I am your Jubilee, your eternal place of rest. Restoration of all that has been lost is coming back to you through me. And we're at healing school, so I'm going to say that includes your healing. Glory be to God. Now, let's see in Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. And we saw this in our very first session, some info about some words that I think should build faith for us. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now just, let's pause there a minute. You may say, well, I've been born again for 20 years and I've never heard this and I've never entered in. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That says to me, if I never heard of it, now I'm hearing about it and I can walk in it. It also says to me, if I lost my rest yesterday, that there remains a rest that I can get back into because of what Jesus did. Because it's all about what? Being in Him. Verse 10, for the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works. Now, this is talking about Jesus, but who else is it talking about? You and I. Because we've entered His rest, and there was nothing we could do from a work standpoint to earn our salvation. Jesus did it just as God did it, and we're to do it just as Jesus did it. And then finally in verse 11, therefore let us be diligent. Now, I believe King James says labor to get our healing, to find peace. That's not what it says, is it? Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one would fall, and that means to come late, by what? Through the same disobedience, which means that because we don't believe it. So we're talking about being able to begin to see ourselves in this place of rest, just like Jesus is. Let me just stay on my notes so I don't get ahead of myself. Beloved, this is just as real an in Him reality as it is your spirit is joined with His. This is another in Him reality that we have, this place of rest that we have, this person of rest in Him. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that everything that we receive by faith flows through Him and that place of rest. And that's where we can receive that as well, believing in that finished work and our position in Him. Now, to some of you saying, well, how does this apply to me? Well, John 15, the fourth verse in the New King James says, abide in me and I in you. That's that union that we have in Him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. But look at that first phrase, abide in me and I in you. Now He's doing that. He's abiding in us through the Holy Spirit. One of the words we saw last week said what? That you ought to be able to dwell there comfortably. Can you see that regardless of what you've done, the Holy Spirit is comfortable in you? Your spirit man, regardless of what your flesh is doing, I'm not saying He's pleased with your actions maybe, but the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you because of something we did. He is comfortable in our spirit man. Now the question then becomes, can I be as comfortable with the Holy Spirit as He is with me? We're teaching about being led by the Spirit in another venue, and I can tell you, that's one of the things that I believe keeps people from hearing, because they're not comfortable knowing Holy Spirit is with them and doing all that He's, when they're doing all the things that they are. It heaps condemnation down upon them. But it all flows from this place of rest. And the labor we need to have, the diligence we need to have, Scripture tells us here, is to do what? To enter into that rest. Yet, for me, I find myself fighting and fighting and quoting Scriptures from my head, not my heart. And I don't get the answer, and I'm doing so saying, I'm believing, Lord, I'm believing, and I'm gritting my teeth, and my fists are clenched. And there's nothing flowing out of my heart because I'm not in what? That place of rest. Then we say, okay, well, Lord, I'm just going to stand. I'm going to stand on Your Word. And we start standing, and we keep just bombarding Scriptures. But if it's not coming up from it, and it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, that power is. And I'm going to just tell you this. I was studying this yesterday, and I actually wrote the time down, about 2:36 yesterday afternoon. And as I'm going through this, meditating these verses and just being quiet and listening, I heard the Lord say, watch me work as these words are being spoken. And I said, how are you going to do that? Because you're resting. And He said, through the words that are going to be spoken, my words, Jesus and His word is what? One. So I just want to say to you, these words from the mouth of the Lord, the scripture, not just my opinions, but these scriptures have the power to bring results to you today while you're listening. And that is my expectation. We had a notable healing occur after healing school last week, and one day I'll be free to testify about it and may have the person do it. But this is what we should expect in our jubilee, in our place of restoration. Now, if you're like me, you said, okay, how do I get there? Tell me a little bit about how do I get there? How do I stay there? Because you said it can be my eternal place. Well, let's go back and just think about it. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, teaches us that this is a progression. And in Ephesians, the posture that is talked about in the first three chapters is sitting in Him in those heavenly places. Now, so then what's next? Well, let's look at Ephesians 4, 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul is writing, says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. So in chapter 4, it begins talking about our walk in the Lord, our walk of faith, our walk of trust, our walk of confidence. How we live our life is really what that word means. It's to wander around in a circle and become so familiar to it that you're just walking there. And it's like after a while you can be walking. The word in the Greek literally means as you would take a stroll with a friend. And guess who that friend is? The one who you're yoked with, the Holy Spirit, who's teaching you. So he says, I ask you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Now, what is that manner worthy of the calling? Can you pull back up Ephesians 2:7? I don't believe this is talking about what ministry or what works he's called you to do. But he's calling, his calling for you and I is that in the ages to come, to allow him to show to us the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us. That's what we as believers are first called to do. How else, and I'll get off track, but how else can the world look at you then and say, the Lord has blessed them. My, the Lord's blessed him. How can you be called a people of renown, his own people for praise and glory? It's by letting the Holy Spirit flow through us and bring to us all the things that Jesus purchased on the cross. And it begins when we learn how to sit. So when we're walking out our faith. Now, Scripture does tell us to walk out our faith with fear and trembling. So there's, that tells me there's some things we've got to learn to do. We know then when we stand or when we believe the Lord and begin to receive through faith, when it doesn't come, then we stand. And so when we go to standing, it just puts us in a position where we are not moved by what he says. Well, you know, the best way to not be moved is to be stuck somewhere sitting. Because if you're tense, and I said this early on, I believe, a good athlete, any sport, cannot be tense and play well. I remember the first time I played in a golf tournament, and my dad entered me late, and I was the very first person to tee off in front of everybody. I was 13 years old. So nervous, I couldn't hardly breathe. So tight, I don't even remember where the ball went, but I can guarantee you it wasn't very far and it wasn't in the fairway. But when we are relaxed, when we are at that rest, in that rest. So in Ephesians 6:10 through 11, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. put on that full armor. To me, that says take advantage of all that kindness and mercy that he wants to bestow on you. The helmet of salvation. Take advantage of the fullness of that salvation. Take advantage of having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and that belt girded tight around you to which all the other items of your warfare attach. Using your shield of faith. Now, I believe we must learn before we walk and before we sit, before we stand, to just be at rest in his completed work. Ephesians 5:8, I just want to remind you of this. It says that we are to walk now as children of light. For we were formerly of darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of the light. Now, what does 1 John tell us about light? Well, in the English Standard Version, it says this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Have you ever walked in a dark room and turned on a light and darkness stayed? Now, we got to experience lately here, BJ and I, for about 3 times in the past week, being in a dark room and flipping a light switch and nothing happened because the power was not connected to that switch. But in that place of rest, you are sitting there in the one to whom all authority and all power has been given. In the Passion Translation, it says, that last phrase, the light that darkness could not diminish. How do you see yourself in the Lord? Do you see darkness and the devil larger than you? Or do you see that, no, it's not about little old me, but it's about where I am sitting with him in that position of rest? So rest, sitting with him, walking as the righteous are to walk by faith, standing having done all to enforce the victory of that finished work. Sidetrack. If we are sitting in that heavenly place with him, then as we look down on the earth, and again, we're there positionally in the Spirit, we ought to be able to do what? See things as he sees it. See the end from the beginning, but also see ourselves as he sees us down here. See ourselves as what? As being healed. When BJ and I moved to Macon 10 years ago, there was a song that we began to just really listen to, and it became our anthem. And it talked about sitting with him in heavenly places, seeing things from his point of view, not my point of view. I don't look at my flesh and say, gosh, my knee is this, my eyes can't see. I begin to what? See from his point of view. And that way, then I can begin to call things that be not as though they were. In this place of rest, there is no fear. Now you say, well, the devil went and talked to God about Job. He doesn't go back there today. He's not permitted free will in heavenly places today. He's under your feet, under your authority. And you know, the scripture never teaches us, ask God to get rid of the devil for us. He tells you to resist him, and he'll flee. And that word means to run as in stark terror. He tells you to use the name of Jesus on him, and he must bow or bend his knee. So we're the ones with that power. In this place of rest, there's no fear. Now, think about Jesus. He's going to the cross. He knows the physical pain. And he's probably experienced some physical pain in his body because he's a man on this cursed earth. I don't believe it lasted long. But he also knows that you're in my sin, and all the sin of the world, past and future, is going to be put on him. And he knows that sin is going to separate him from God. How could he face that cross unless he knew that he was in that place of rest with his Father? In John 14, verse 30, speaking to his disciples, he says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no thing or no place in me. He saw himself from his Father's perspective, and he knew that he was a sinless man who was about to take ours, and he had absolute confidence and trust, which is some attributes we saw about rest last time we talked. He knew he had that absolute confidence and rest in his Father. Was his flesh troubled? Yes. Was his spirit troubled when our sin hit him and was separated from God? Yeah, I think it was. But he went into this sitting at rest with his Father. Whether we're fighting the good fight of faith or standing, and here's some of the things we talked about 2 weeks ago, we are to cease, to desist, to rest from our own efforts. So I'm not to be fighting to be able to have my healing come. I'm going to start in that place of sitting, and I'm going to let the scriptures that are in my heart that I know, that I know, that I know, that knowing, Pastor Trey has defined before faith as to know. And I think that's very accurate. No one can talk you out of your salvation. But by his stripes ye were healed needs to be just as alive in us. And it can be in that place of rest. To know that I have found that place of rest, that settled spot in him, so that we can lean on, rely on, trust in, be supported by him, just as the apostle, as the disciple John did when he leaned against his breast there at the final Passover meal. And we are so comfortable there in this place of rest that there is never a thought that we're going to leave it. Abide there in this eternal place of rest where I have been seated. And that is why we can be quiet, again, another one of the attributes of rest that we talked about, to hear his voice, to hear his rhema word. Now, I've said teaching here previously what I'm about to say, but I really think it's important. If time permits, and most of the time, most of the things that happen to us, time will permit, and you feel something coming on your body, ask the Lord for a scripture to stand on. And in that quiet, still, small voice, he'll speak to you. But if we're going to hear, where do we need to be? In this place of rest. Otherwise, we're going to be dominated by the voices screaming at us in our flesh. The idea of logic to reside or permanently staying. Now, what that makes me think of is Jesus is my hope. When I lose hope in this body, when I lose hope in my soul, I can still have hope because I am in him. Again, so we can see that hope will abound in this place of rest. Praise will also. But finally, we are seated with Him, our Jubilee, in these heavenly places. So, we've seen that we enter that place of rest when we first believe. Now we walk this walk of faith as good as we know how today. We're learning more every day. I am not here, and in many ways this is intimidating to teach this, but I really believe the Lord has just released me to do it. But we begin that walk of faith. If we don't see results immediately, we start standing as we've been instructed to do. But when those disappointments, when everything begins to come against us, and we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. What have we seen today? I have a place of rest that I can retreat to in my Lord Jesus. Now again, this is not a mental game. This is in your spirit, believing it. My knees can be knocking. I can be fearful. I can have pain in my body, but I can be at rest in my heart. And if we allow that to bubble up, rivers of living water from that one we are put together with, that place, one we are seated in heavenly places in Him, then in that place of perfect love, where there's no fear, there is a rest that will cause you to begin to believe and receive what? The surpassing greatness of His power toward you who believe. So retreat to it. When we don't know what to do, that's where I'm learning to begin to go back and to start and restart that fight of faith, my walk. Now, I want to close with this verse. Isaiah 32, two of them, 17 and 18. And this is where we're going to begin to talk next week, in Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. It says, "And the work of righteousness will be peace." So he's talking about peace. "And the service," or the effect of righteousness, "is quietness and confidence forever." The work, the service, the effect of righteousness is quietness and confidence forever. Now that sounds a little bit like some of the words we saw for rest, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, it sounds a lot like it. And then look at verse 18. "Then," in that quietness, in that confidence, in our place of rest, "then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places." We're going to begin 2 weeks from now when we teach in one or two sessions, I don't know, but we're going to begin to talk about rest and peace and how they go hand in glove together. But we're also going to be talking about the power part of it, and you're going to see how rest is associated with the blessing of the Lord being at work in you and on you. So let's pray as we close today. Father, I thank You that You sent Jesus because of these people that I'm looking at over this congregation today. And Father, even as I look in that camera and can just see myriads, just a sea full of people who need You, we are so thankful that You sent Jesus because of us. Thank You, Lord. And in this place of rest, seated with Him in heavenly places, seeing things as He sees it, we see ourselves flourishing in You as You pour out Your grace in a way that just overwhelms us, it overcomes us. Lord, I just see the verse in the 23rd Psalm It talks about how your goodness will pursue us, will chase us down. Thank you that we walk in this, that we can resist the devil as we stand, and he will flee, because the light that we sit in your glory, comes through us. In darkness, you have no place in these your people. And so I just declare over the people under the sound of my voice on the video and here in this place that things of darkness, pain, disease, loss of sight and vision diminished, I thank you that all of that is being restored as we sit in our jubilee, beholding him. Satan, everything that you've taken from people, we just call it being returned now. Our jubilee is now. Today, we've seen that this message, that healing belongs to us today. It is fulfilled, not about me, but in Jesus who dwells in every one of us. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.